The question was asked, does the punishment have to be bigger for a bigger sin if the point of the punishment is educational? So first of all, if we're talking about God's punishment, so we have to prove whether the purpose of a punishment is solely educational. That deserves its own discussion. But from an educational perspective, we are taught that the order in which Hashem punishes is that Hashem first begins with something small. And it is up to the person to get the hint. This concept is taught in the Torah. The Torah says that a person can have tzaras in the garment, and then in the home, and then in the body. And our sages taught us that that is an evolvement, that when Hashem punishes him, he starts with something small. It could be a garment. It could be something minuscule that suddenly goes bad, and he should stop and think to himself, why the jacket I've been using for 15 years suddenly has to have this blemish of tzaras? And if he stops and thinks about it and does tshuva, then that's where it ends. And if he doesn't, so then Hashem makes it a little heavier. Suddenly it's his house that a blemish appears in. And if he doesn't get the hint then, so then it's suddenly his body. And remember that tzaras is almost like death. The guy has to leave his home. He starts acting as though he were in mourning. He covers his head. He leaves his wife. He leaves his family. He's all alone. He's got to do tshuva. So we see this concept by Elimelech. Chazal spell it out to us in the Megillah of Ruth. At first he lost his wealth, and then ultimately he lost his life, and then their lives. Slowly, Hashem leads up to things. So yes, in that respect, Hashem is constantly affording us a lower punishment so that we'll get the hint before it becomes a bigger punishment. And the same holds true for Pharaoh in Egypt. Slowly, the Egyptian economy wasn't destroyed the first day. Slowly, there was an evolvement. By the time we left, there was nothing left. By the time we left, Egypt was totally destroyed. We left Egypt a year earlier. Egypt was the Manhattan, the Japan, the epicenter of the world, the economic epicenter of the world. And a year later, by the time we left, Egypt was Somalia. Egypt was destroyed. There was nothing there.
They have gold.
What?
They have gold jewelry.
I'm talking about after we took all that.
Oh, right.
Saying we took the material wealth they had amassed. The agricultural wealth was destroyed. The warriors were killed. You were left with nothing. You were left with a wilderness. You had a bunch of women and children who were stuck. Now go do something. All their crops were destroyed, and now was the harvesting season. There was nothing left to harvest. But it didn't start that way. They had many warnings, and they chose to ignore them. So we find that the punishment is often there in order to teach us, as you find in the book of Jonah. Jonah warns them of the coming punishment in the hope that they will do tshuva. They don't do tshuva, there's destruction, and the same holds true for the people of Israel. Tisha B'Av is coming up. Well, there were warnings and again and again and again, and the people chose to ignore the warning signs. And you know what? That's the nature of humanity. Before destruction comes, there are warning signs, but people don't want to listen to them. Same was true in the Holocaust. There were people who came and spoke. Someone just told me a few months ago that he remembers when Jabotinsky came and spoke with them. No one wanted to listen. No one wanted to believe him.
He was. They treated Jabotinsky the same in the '30s, the same way they treated Rav Kahana. They thought he was a nut. They didn't want to listen to him. They just thought he was out of his mind.
Okay, but the warning signs have been there.
Right.
Okay, so that's you're asking me, does Hashem automatically punish harshly? Chazal teaches us that no. There are warnings before the punishment gets harsher. It's up to us to see the writing on the wall.
So, why do you do the same